All right, good morning, everybody. Good morning on this Sunday morning, the 1st of March. I just want to invite all of you guys Tuesday night, our Bible college class, the second one, is having their exam, which is giving their testimony on Tuesday night. I want all of the church all across the world to be with us Tuesday night at 7 p.m. To celebrate what God is doing in these students' lives. Now, this time there's only about five of them because they will merge with the bigger class tomorrow night. Actually, is when our new class starts. So if y'all would please support them on Tuesday night, and especially all of you old Bible college students, the first class, you know, support the second class because they're going to merge with you and be with you Monday night. So I'm very excited about this because the one great thing about the Bible college that I've noticed so far is with my master's degree in corporate communications is to help these students to clarify their vision, to clarify what really happened to them. You know, it's their communications is basically what it is. It's helping them to see who they was and who they became and how to articulate that. So this testimony night is a big test for a lot of them that are very shy and they're hesitant, you know, to share publicly about anything. I did cover that by just allowing them to do it on the private chat like where we're at now and, you know, not showing their faces or anything, but just their voices because they have to get over that fear because what is coming, if you cannot testify for Jesus now when you've got people behind you praying for you and holding your arms up, it's going to be almost impossible to do with the beast. If you can't do just this little thing, you see. So y'all pray for them, for strength to be able to do this and everything. Now, this week, God did a really amazing thing. I told you guys that he was calling me and Dennis out for a couple of weeks to discipline us, to kind of, you know, get us in prayer and stuff like that. Well, it finally came forth this week. And what it was, this whole time was the fact that I was in disobedience to God by continuing doing the news. See, I love doing the news. I like knowing what's going on, the rabbit trails, yada, yada. And my biggest hesitancy about it is when I see the bride go off into old habits and stuff like that, you know, going back to NAR and all that, I felt like, you know, I needed to keep before their face. So really the Lord just revealed that's a fear. Leave them to me. It's time to move on. You've got to trust me in this next level that God has, which I know is the Bible college and preparing testimonies. So this week in our prayer call, the Lord really did an amazing thing. It's the first time that I've noticed how God escalated a story all week long. And so he started out telling us, you know, he woke me up that morning at 2:30 in the morning and told us we've got to write our story. We've got to document who he is in the earth, because the beast agenda is to take our brain and stuff. So we need to have it in writing. We need to leave a legacy, yada, yada. So all week long was about this. And then Thursday, the finale was God's testimony. And God's testimony is everything in the earth that we see. The sky, the birds, the bees, you know, other real humans. This is all the creation of God, and it's his testimony, and this is why they're destroying. And I saw President Trump yesterday talking about, you know, that facade they have going on with Ukraine. That is such a joke. That is such a stage. But anyway, they was I heard Trump bragging about all the minerals that they are paying for in Ukraine. They are literally mining this entire earth to death. And he was telling everybody, oh, it's so we can do what we're going to do with computers and everything. And how the press can just sit there and allow them to talk about how they're just mining the earth for all of its precious minerals that it has to completely destroy the human race. That's basically what it is. Oh, sounds crazy. But anyway, as he finished his story, that that's his testimony, is his creation, us. We are his light and everything. So I'm really encouraging you guys once again, to really focus on your testimony. Don't be ashamed of it or anything, because I had some people say, I'm scared to tell my testimony because it's so fantastical. People just won't even believe it. And so a lot of people will hide it under a bushel because of that. Don't do that. Your story is your story, whether people believe it or not. I mean, God's done miracles in all of your lives. And there's other people that need to know that, especially your children. And if you do nothing else but just to write it and keep it at your house so that there is a record in the earth of your story. Because I'm not trying to sound melodramatic, but it is melodramatic the time we're in. Think about it. If they said that 90% of the people on the earth have been jabbed, I mean, how many, even if it's 70, I mean, how many people are left that have not been tainted? So, you need to leave a legacy. You need to leave a record of, who Jesus is and was, in the earth. So I really encourage you on that. Now, on YouTube, I have been, as I've been telling you guys these stories, I've been putting together little visuals of my testimony and posting it on there, hoping that it'll help people, encourage them in their faith and whatnot. And you know what I was thinking about? I beat myself up a little bit about, why don't I have these testimonies now, these wonderful miracles like I've had in the past? But you know what God spoke to me about? He said, now it's time for others. My testimony was for my time and my period. Now it is pushing others to believe God for theirs, to enhance their stories and to help them. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? So for all of you guys, don't give up or whatever. Just believe God, that he's going to do great and mighty things through you. Amen. Let's see. Now, one other thing I want to warn you about before we get started in worship and stuff is I really believe that we really need to pull back again. I want to encourage you on this again to pull back about warnings of what you know that's happening in the world. Be very careful. Because I have noticed on the radar a lot of people, where it's escalating to where they will be turning you in. People, at this point, people have made up their mind. They're going to do what they're going to do. And if we keep hounding them, they may end up, because the government now is making efforts. Okay, let me give you one example. President Trump had his Bondi woman, I think that's how you say it, talk about how they are doing a new gun control measure. They are making this federal, people. the red flag gun laws that Trump started back in 2019 when I was with him up there. I could not believe he did it. So it spread to like 36 states, but now he's making it federal and they're escalating it. So listen to how this is going to happen. If your family member, and we're talking, this could be husband, wife, children, aunts, uncles, neighbors, anybody in your circle of influence thinks that you're off in the head, all they have to do is turn you in. And Trump's bringing this to action now. They can come in and arrest you. No corpus cadis, whatever how that word is, where you have no more rights, is going out the window. You could be in prison forever. This goes along with it. And if you get out, you know, they'll take all your guns, and then they could hold them forever, or they, you know, because we looked at the other day on the news, we looked at California. And California, you know, says that there's this long process that they have to go through a year and whatnot to get their guns back. But when Trump was with that Bondi, you know, he said, it's only going to be 24 to 72 hours, and then you can have your guns back. And I'm like, what? We believe this. You know, so the point that I'm trying to say is they are setting up the government to go to the next level. So all I can do is warn you guys, you know, back off your families. You're going to have to give them all to Jesus and let it go at this point, because this is the next level. You know, I have walked you guys through this thing since it began in 2020, and there's been markers where we said, okay, no more of this, no more of this, no more of this. Well, this is that point. There is no more. So I just want to warn you on that. All right, well, let's pray and let's go ahead and get started. We're going to sing just a couple of songs, because I'm going to tell you something. Pastor has been working on the most awesome sermon today. And he is on fire, ready to give it. He is just busting at the seams where the Lord has just poured his oil on Dennis. So I'm so excited about hearing that this morning. Let me pull up the lyrics to this song. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for changing us, Lord, from glory to glory. We thank you, God, that you are helping us, Lord, to be sensitive to the Spirit, to be able to maneuver in this end time scenario, Lord, just like you did when you was in the crowds and you knew that they was coming to attack you, how you would maneuver your way through the crowds, Lord, and how you would warn your disciples about stuff coming. And that's what you're doing with us. You're helping us to navigate. This is how good you are, Lord. You're just such a... Now I got to sing that song. You are such a good, good Father. Yes, you are. In Jesus' name, amen. And be with Pastor as he preaches, Lord. Anoint him as he sings today. I mean, as he preaches today. All right, let me get these lyrics up here. I want to sing this first. Good, good Father. Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Oh, I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. 'Cause you're perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us, you are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us, oh, it's love so undeniable. I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable. I can hardly think as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still into love. Love, love, your good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am, and your good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And we're loved by you. Isn't that beautiful? All right, let's see. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. This is amazing love. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Oh, amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my king, would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you in all I do. I honor you. All right, Lord, we just thank you so much for your worship this morning, Lord. We do worship you today. We lift up your holy name today, Lord. There is none like you, Lord. We will bow to no other. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're the God of our life. You are the one who was, who is, and who is to come. You are the great I am. And Lord, how we look forward to studying the tabernacle this week. How we go into learning, Lord, how it all began. And the meaning and the thought and the purpose of sending Jesus. Lord, you're just so amazing. Those songs cannot even describe the beauty of who you are, Lord. We thank you that we're even in a time period right now, God, that we can be together. We're thankful and grateful that we can come together and sing and pray and preach and be family together, Lord. We thank you that today we have this opportunity. We don't know what holds tomorrow, Lord, but we know you're always over there. You're always over there. We do not have to fear what tomorrow may bring. We just thank you and praise you today that we have a pastor, Lord, that you have just poured yourself into all week long, given him the word and the manna from heaven for us this morning, Lord. How grateful we are. Bless him in every way, Lord. Bless his back as he goes out and works in the field all week, Lord. And then he comes in and he pours out to the church, Lord. Bless him, bless him, bless him, Lord. In Jesus' name, anoint his lips this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Pastor, I'm going to open up your line. Good morning, sir. Good morning. I'm a clicking on it.
Hello.
There you go. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I don't know if I'm on fire, but okay.
Good morning. Well, you've got the floor, okay?
All righty. Thank you. Thank you for your songs, too. I guess somewhat they go along with the message. I didn't really pick any songs, but, you know, we do have a good, good Father. And he is perfect in all his ways. And part of my message is about to know. You know, we need to know that he is, you know, good. And he is perfect in all his ways. And also that we are loved by him. You know, his love is amazing. So, you know, and that. With that all being said, that's our testimony. Amen. So, anyway, I got that out of them songs just here. I wrote it down here on my little note paper, and I'm sitting here toasty warm, And I got my cup of tea. It's actually my third cup of tea today. But this one is rose lemonade, fruit flavored infusion. And it's got a different taste. And this tea was also sent to us, and, you know, a gift. And so we greatly appreciate that and greatly appreciate all your gifts and especially your prayers for us, you know, in this ever-ending changing times and crazy times and all that. But, you know, we just trust in the Lord with all our hearts. And Lord, we lean not to our own understanding, but in all our ways, Lord God, we just acknowledge you and that you will make our path straight. So we just thank you, Lord, and I thank you, Lord, that you will bless each one that hears this message, Lord, and that you will make their path straight. You know, it's a narrow path, and it's a tough path that we're on, our journey, but we know that you will guide us and lead us on that straight and narrow path and not the big wide path of this world. And we will bow to know nobody but you. And that's part of my message today. So we just praise you and thank you in Jesus' mighty name. And I was trying to look this morning to see how I got this scripture, but earlier in the week, this one scripture come to me, and so I just kind of took off with it, and I'm going to be probably jumping around here today. I don't know. I'm just going to trust the Lord's going to lead me a little more here. But it's from 1 Kings chapter 19, if people want to turn there. And this is, you know, about Elijah. You know, Elijah, he flees from Jezebel. You know, I mean, Elijah was a mighty man of God, you know, a great prophet and watchman, and but powerful man, but I believe he was just wore out, and in chapter 19, you know, he's fleeing from Jezebel, who's out to kill him, you know. And so we're going to get into that a little bit. But 1 Kings chapter 19, I just want to jump down to verse 18. And yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. And, you know, when this verse come to me earlier in the week, and it's like, wow, you know, look at all the people who are bowing their knees to Baal. And, you know, Baal is a false god with a small g. And, you know, you can do a search on that, you know, in your Bible dictionary or whatever, you know, the god Baal, you know, and that takes you to, led me to Babylon, you know. And where they were bowing to Baal, you know, and Babylon, you know, was an ancient city, you know, a state in the plain of Shire, you know, and it was derived from the Arcadian Babalu, which means the gate of God. Okay. And the Hebrew root Baal means to confound, you know, and it has the reference to the confusion of tongues, you know, like at the Tower of Babel, Genesis 11:9. You know, but when you look up Babylon and Baal, you know, there's a bunch of different gods, again, all small g, you know, who they're bowing to. you know, they're bowing to these gods and whatever. And it's just like, wow, don't we see that today? You know, I was thinking about that, you know, how many people are bowing, you know, to Baal. And here Elijah, and I'm sure most of you know this story because it's so cool. It's such a neat story. But, you know, he's fleeing from Jezebel, and he flees to Horeb, you know, and he goes up into the mountains. You know, he leaves his servant, you know, behind, and he goes up, you know, he just wants to get away from everything. Just get by himself. And he's, you know, I think he's in depression somewhat. And I'm going to just start at verse 11. And he said, go forth and the Lord told him, you know, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and broke it in pieces, the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. You know, whose voice are we listening to today? You know, whose voice are the people listening to today? And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in a mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what dost thou hear, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain the prophets with the sword. And even I am left, and they seek my life to take it away. You know, he's telling God, you know, oh, the prophets have been slain, and oh, I'm the only one left. Oh, you know, and he's in his little pity party. Verse 15, and the Lord said unto him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And I'm going to just stop there, but you know, so God's giving him a new plan. Okay. And he's telling him, you know, he's not the only one out there, you know, yet have I left me, you know, Elijah think he's the only one left. Oh, poor me, you know. But God tells him in verse 18, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed to Baal. You know, so there is this remnant, and we're going to talk about that. You know, so, you know, Elijah is a prophet who is, you know, fiercely loyal to God. And he stands against the worship of Baal, not bowing to the knee of Baal. You know, it represents refusing to worship, you know, all these other gods and these gods of men, you know, signifying complete devotion and loyalty to the God of Israel. So, you know, we have to answer, who will we bow to? Who will we bow to? And I was thinking about that, and it took me to this commentary, and I'm going to just read this. It's not really a commentary, it's a devotion. And it's from Philippians 2, verses 9 through 11. I'm going to read that. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, to give him a name which is above every name, that at the time, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wow. You know, because Jesus came to earth at the first time and became obedient unto death on the cross, the Bible joyfully declares, wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. You know, Jesus, you know, he came in as a little boy and was born in Bethlehem. By the time Jesus comes, and it could be at any time, you know, the second time, he will come as the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Amen. According to the Bible, at that moment, you know, when Jesus comes back, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, the things in earth, and the things under the earth. Wow. Notice it says every knee should bow. That word bow in the Greek means to bow low. You know, and it's found in a lot of scriptures, you know, throughout the Bible. Romans 14:11, Ephesians 3:14. But it's where the Apostle Paul uses it to picture a person who bends his knee in acknowledgement of God's authority. I'm going to read that again. When we bow low, you know, it's acknowledgement of God's authority. It is an action that expresses honor and respect and humiliation and worship. You know, and here we have all these people bowing to Baal when there's only one person we need to be bowing to. It's the Lord God. Amen. You know, according to Philippians 2:10 here, a day is coming when those in heaven and earth and hell will bow their knees, you know, in honor, respect, humility, and worship of Jesus Christ. It is not a question of if the people will bow their knees to Jesus. It is only the question of when and how they will do it. You know, will they freely do it while still living on the earth today? Or will they do it from the vantage point of hell? You know, a lot of people aren't bowing to the Lord today. They're bowing to Baal. But there will come a day when they will bow. Everyone will bow, including those who have already died and gone to heaven, those who are still alive when Jesus comes, and even those who have died and are eternally separated from God. All will bow their knees in acknowledgement of Jesus Christ's Lordship. You know, every tongue will confess that Jesus is the Lord, to the glory of the Father. Amen. That word confess in Greek means it's a confession. When taken as one, it means to declare it out. It means heaven and earth and hell will resonate with the sound, with the voices of all who have ever lived, as they thunderously shout out the acknowledgement that Jesus is Lord. Woo! Ain't that going to be an awesome day? When the whole heaven and hell and all earth will be shouting out, Jesus is Lord. You know, every knee will bow. It's also a fact that every person will confess that Jesus is Lord. You know, if a person confesses Jesus to be his Lord right now, in this life, it guarantees him a place in heaven. If a person refuses to make that confession now, he will still do it later, only then it will be too late for them to gain a place in heaven. You know, how sad is that? So every knee will bow. Every knee will confess. And that's what it's saying here in 1 Kings. You know, there are people, there's a remnant that will not bow to Baal. You know, this verse highlights that even when it seems like everyone is following a false god, there's still a faithful remnant who remains true, loyal, and faithful to God. And that's with the big G. Amen. You know, even though Elijah, you know, was afraid of Queen Jezebel, you know, he fled. You know, he was in depression. You know, he was depressed. And how many out there today we know? I mean, June could give you many, many stories of people calling and emailing that, you know, they're almost like in a state of depression. You know, we can't go there. We have to trust in the Lord. You know, we have to know how remarkable God is in his grace. You know, we have to take this example here of Elijah. You know, he was, you know, God's grace renewed him. You know, he was a fearless prophet, and God restored him, restored his ministry. You know, he had a plan for him. If you read verses, you know, 15 through 17, you know, he had to go to these people. You know, he had plans for Elijah, and he's got plans for each one of us. You know, Elijah, you know, he trusted God in what? In his direction. You know, he had a new plan for him. He supplied for him. You know, and most important, his voice. You know, God, Elijah trusted in the voice and the future. You know, and he responded what? Positively to God. You know, he received supernatural provision. You know, and that's what we're going to have to do these days. You know, that we're coming into. We're going to have to trust the Lord for supernatural provision. That we hear that still small voice. You know. And if you go back to, you know, verse 4, you know, we can't let feelings and emotions bring you down. Those feelings of fear and depression, you know. And what does it say here in verse 4? But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under the juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. You know, that's how depressed he was. He just exhausted. He just requesting that he would die. And said, is it enough now, O Lord? Take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. That's how depressed and low he was. But God can restore. Amen. You know, in all his ups and downs, you know, he's seen with Israel, you know, all the, you know, you have to go back and read. There's so many stories about Israel, their ups and downs. They were following God. They weren't. They were worshiping all these false gods, blah, 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 you know. And Elijah was just fed up. You know, he was fed up with them. Here in, where is it? Let me find that. Verse 10, and he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. You know, he just feels he's the only one left. He just wants to die. You know, but the Lord was with him. He heard his voice. And that voice gave him hope and strength to carry on. Amen. You know, this story also shows that people should not abandon their duties, even when they seem hopeless. You know, we have to not live in our pity parties. I can tell you stories about that. I've been there. You know, God has other plans for him. You know, even though Elijah has thought he was the last of the prophets only, you know, no, God still has a select people. Amen. Let's turn to Romans. Romans chapter 10, or is it 11? Let me get there. Yeah, Romans chapter 10. Actually, we're going to just read chapter 10 and part of 11, because the verse I want to get to, we just need to read it all to get to that, to make sense of it all. But Romans chapter 10, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Wow. I think we can have that prayer too for many people. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, are going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law, for righteousness is to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on the wise, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above. Or, who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There it is. It's a confession. We've been talking a lot about your testimony. Verse 10. And with thy heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Let's stop right there for a minute. That word, whosoever. You know, whosoever. believe it. You know, put your name there. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Amen. There. Take note of that, whosoever. You know. For so, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Did you hear that? Verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Isaiah 53:1. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily. Their sound went up into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by the foolish nation I will anger you. By a foolish nation. Wow. I wonder if that's our nation today. Just a thought. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them and asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Wow. That gainsaying people, that means deny or contradict. You know, here, you know, Isaiah, you know, just like we was reading in, back in Kings, First Kings. All these people, he just finally come to a point where he was just distraught. Let's go to Romans chapter 11. And this is about the remnant of Israel. Okay? And take note of that word remnant. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For also I am an Israelite, the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. What? What not? The scripture saith of Elijah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed the prophets. They dig down thy altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. Now, what's that say? It says, give us verse 3. Lord, they. Who's the they? It's the children of Israel. Go back to, you know, 1 Kings 19:10. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. So, my thoughts here. Verse 5, even so then at this present time. So let's think about that as, you know, this present time for us. Is there remnant according to the election of grace? You know, a remnant is a small group of people who remains faithful to God even when others are not. Grace, a remnant according to the election of grace. Grace is God's unmerited favor or the gift of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ and the finished works on the cross, a resurrection on the third day. You know, to be a remnant, you have to believe this. You know, you have to, salvation through faith alone. Election, according to the election of grace. This election, it's the doctrine that God chooses people based on his grace, not on their merit. You know, you can't work still will get you there. You know, but that even so at this present time, and here in my, I just flipped my page here and it says, and I got that written and highlighted, even so at this present time. Well, how about now at this present time? You know, March, I guess we're at the new month, March 2025. Do we acknowledge, do we believe, have we obtained the grace and not been blinded by the unbelief and works? You know? Romans 10:13 and 15. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There it is. For whosoever. Then now shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written. So, for whosoever, wow, for whomsoever, let's turn to Daniel chapter 4, let's see if I can get there, 1 Kings, Joshua. Oh, where is it? I thought I had it marked here. Oh, there it is. Daniel. Daniel chapter 4. And why I got led to Daniel 4, just this is about Nebuchadnezzar's vision of a tree. You know, and you kind of almost got to read, you know, go back and read chapter 3 and chapter 4, you know, and that's where I guess I come up with that Babylon, you know, therefore, verse 6, therefore made I decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me. You know, and all these wise men, most all of them, you know, this is Nebuchadnezzar. He had this dream, you know, and so he sent forth all these, you know, verse 7, in the musicians, magicians, excuse me, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And I told them the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. So he's trying to find out what this dream means, okay? And then Daniel comes in and he interprets this dream for him. We're not going to get into all of that, but that word whomsoever sticks out at me. Let's go down to verse 17. And he tells him about the dream, you know, and Nebuchadnezzar, you know, he's the tree, and, you know, he's teaching him to more or less bringing him to humility, you know, before God. In verse 17, this matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of man and giveth to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. You know, he's giving it over to whomsoever, you know, he's, that the living may know. And we talked about that, at, you know, we need to know the Most High, that he rules over the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And he setteth up over it the basest of men, lowly men, you know, the lowliest of men, the humble. You know, God's in control. And if you would, you don't have to turn there now, but if you go to, just write this down to Psalm 51, and it's about a prayer of cleansing. And it's a very powerful psalm, I believe. I've got it highlighted all over. I've been there. But verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, oh God, thou wilt not despise. But this is a powerful psalm about, you know, getting before God and you know, being purged. Verse 7, purge me to hyssop, that I will be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. It's a powerful psalm. But going back to Daniel 4, verse 25, that they shall drive thee from man, and the dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and they shall make thee, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth to whomsoever he will. You know, God will give it to whomsoever he will. Verse 26, and whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee. After that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Amen. Verse 32. Well, let's go to verse 30. And this is Nebuchadnezzar. The king spoke and he said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? Here he is, you know. in his glory, but no. Verse 32, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High God, the Most High, ruleth in the kingdom of man, and giveth to whomsoever he will. Wow. You know, this whomsoever he will. You know, we need to know. We need to know and have this established in our hearts. Is our testimony unto the Most High God that he ruleth in the kingdom of man, and he giveth to whomsoever he will. And this whomsoever, you know, is it the remnant? It's interesting. Let's turn to Joshua. I just got to go there. Joshua. Joshua 1. And it's interesting because I've got a prayer book, and I was reading in there this prayer, and I've read this prayer before. It's about the mind of Christ. And in there, there's one scripture from Joshua 1:18. You know, and this in Joshua 1, chapter 1, I mean, it's about preparations for the conquest of Canaan, okay? It's kind of instructions and preparation, you know. But verse 18, it says, whomsoever he that doth rebel against the commandments and will not hearken to the words and all that thou commandest, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. But this is a powerful chapter. I'm just going to read through it quickly. We just have to. Joshua 1. And you know, and these, let's just say these are instructions for us today. Okay? Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over to this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that thou sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto thee, you, and as unto Moses. Verse 4, from the wilderness and this Lebanon unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As it was with Moses, so it will be with thee. Amen. Just put my name right there. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and of good courage, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand, or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. And that verse 8 here, it says, this book shall not depart out of thy mouth. And I had to think about that. Wow. What's that saying? Is you shall not forget. Is what that's saying. You shall not forget, you know, the words that's in the book. And when you do according to that which is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Amen. Thank you, Lord. For I have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. You know, we need to have that in our, deep in our spirit, man. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan, to go in to possess the land which the Lord God hath given to you. Possess it. You know, we need to possess what God's given us. We need to take control. Verse 12, and to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to half the tribe of Manasseh, spoke Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Yes, thank you, Lord, for rest, as we trust in you alone. Your wives and little ones and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of Jordan, but ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all mighty men of valor, and help them. Interesting, this just sticks. It says here, but ye shall pass before your brethren armed. You know, we need to be armed, what, Ephesians 6, with the full armor of God. Amen. Almighty men of valor. Until the Lord hath given your brethren rest as he hath given you. And they also have possessed the land which the Lord God had given them. And ye shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. And that just makes me think right now, wow. You know, this land that the Lord has given me in June. You know, we need to enjoy it. This land, possession, and enjoy it. And we do. We enjoy this land, even though, let me tell you, it's been a lot of work restoring this land and making it. And there's still a lot of work here. And so we just thank, you know, I just want to thank each one of you for praying for us, that this land that the Lord has given us, that we're possessing, you know, that the will of the Lord will be done here. That's our prayer. Verse 16, and they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do. And whatsoever thou sendest, we will go. Wow. According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so we will hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doeth rebel against the commandment and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. You know, we can't rebel against the commandments. You know, we have to hearken unto his words. I just thought that was so powerful. You know, But we have to have that broken and contrite spirit, you know, the whosoever. Let's turn to Matthew 22. I need to take a drink here. Matthew 22. Matthew 22. This is about the parable of the marriage feast, okay? And I'm not going to read all this for time's sake, but I want to read verse 6. The remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. You know, this remnant were people who were, you know, they were invited to the marriage, but paid no attention to the invitation. You know, there's, you know, he's inviting these people to the marriage, but there are people that will not accept that invitation. They went beyond simply refusing to honor the king's invitation. They started a rebellion by murdering the king's servants who he sent out to invite and encourage them to come to the marriage. You know, just think about that. How many people in the world today have been invited? But they didn't. You know, verse 7. And when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Wow. The king wasn't so happy, was he, that he invited these people to this marriage supper, and some of them rebelled against him, you know. Some just didn't go, but some of them rebelled, and they spoke poorly of him. You know, I see this like, you know, all were invited, but a few accepted and went their own way. Verse 5, and they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm and another to his merchandise. So some of them, you know, they were all invited, but, you know, some went this way and some went that way, and some rebelled against him and spoke out against him. Verse 8, and then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Wow. They were not worthy. You know, how many are worthy to that marriage supper, to the marriage feast? And this is about Jesus' second coming. How many are going to be worthy? It says here, you know, all were invited. Some just didn't go. Some rebelled against it and spoke out against it, you know, or speaking out against this invitation. Let's turn to Matthew 10. Matthew 10. And Matthew 10, you know, Jesus chooses the 12, okay? And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Let's jump down here. And verse 5, and the 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out the devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip in your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when you come into the house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Wow. Worthy. Verse 11. And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who is in it, who in it is worthy. And if not, and whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye shall depart out of that city, shake off the dust off your feet. Worthy. Worthy means having and showing the qualities or abilities that merit recognition in a specific way. Worthy or deserving something. You know, the biblical meaning kind of is like balancing the scales. The believer who walks in the manner worthy of the calling with which he has been called is one of those whose daily living corresponds to his blessed position as a child of God and fellow heir with Jesus Christ. You know, it's his practical living. You know, it should match his spiritual position. You know, that's whosoever. That's if you're worthy to be whosoever. Ephesians 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech ye that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And it's been a while back, but I did a message about the called. Are you called? We're all called, but we all, you know, not all will accept. Just like the invitation to the marriage supper, they were all invited, but only some went. You know, and there was a remnant that rebelled against him. And it's interesting, when I was thinking about that and I wrote that down, you know, that they rebelled against him. Now, I don't have it here in my notes, but I'm just thinking about this. You know, rebellion is the spirit of witchcraft. I can't remember where that scripture is. I'll have to look that up and we have to do something on that. But, you know, look at the witchcraft we see today. Anybody that's following us, this ministry, knows what I'm talking about. At least I hope you do. If you don't, give me a call. Let's talk about it. We see much witchcraft. And I think I did a message about that, the bewitching. I believe America's been bewitched, and right here, you know. So, are you worthy of your calling? And there's other scriptures that talk about this. 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 11 and 22. Colossians 3, verse 12. Isaiah 31, 3. And, you know, are you worthy of your calling? Who's worthy? Of their calling. And it's interesting. Let me turn here quick to Revelation 12, I think it is. Yeah, Revelation 12, verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which kept the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Woo! You know, very clearly, evil is going to come up with, is going to make war with the remnant of her seed. This woman is the church, I believe. It's the remnant. It's the true church. You know, this dragon is enraged with the true church. It's going to come to make war with the remnant of the seed. We're seeing that happen. I don't know if anybody else out there can see that. It's plain as the nose on my head, my face. Amen. Go back. Let's go to Luke 10. Luke 10. So, you know, Jesus sends, in Luke 10, Jesus sends forth the 70. And these are instructions to them, okay? And he's emphasizing relying on God's provision and not burdened. Seek peace where it is, where it's graciously given to you, verse 5 and 6. And in whosoever house ye enter, safe. First say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall return to you again. You know, they are ready to receive you. If they're ready to receive you graciously. And let's just read down here. Verse 7, and in the same house remain eating and drinking such things as they give. For your labor is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. And heal the sick that are therein. And say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city ye enter and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same and say, even the very dust of your city which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Whoa. We just got to stop there a minute. Is that not a warning? That's the way I see that. You know, he's warning them. You know, here they are. They were invited into your house graciously. Or when they went there and they weren't graciously treated, there wasn't that peace. He's saying, you know, even the very, you know, just wipe it off.
Papa, can I interject here, sir?
Yeah.
Do you mind?
Yes.
I think about, you know, what we're all going through this week, about what God is telling all of us about sharing our testimony. You know, a lot of people, they fear it because they're afraid of how they're going to receive it. Okay, let's go to my life with God reminding me to pull back out of the news and to focus more on his new mission, which is more of what we're doing here, ministry and helping people to go forward type of deal. Well, a lot of that is a reminder to me this morning as well about, you know, all the people that's not receiving the news. See, that's the biggest reason I couldn't stop. I was so afraid I was going to lose people and people were, but he's saying, you've reached who you're going to reach. There are the remnant that is paying attention. Right. Wipe the dust off your feet and move on. I appreciate it so much, sir. I really do. Hey, Miss Carla wants to know, what is the last scripture you had? I think it was Luke.
Luke 10.
Hold on, I got it right here. Luke 10, 1 through sister, 16. Luke 10.
Yeah.
1 through 16. Okay, thank you, sir.
Uh-huh. But to me, it's, you know, whoa. These people just don't want to receive the good news, you know, and it's so sad. And that's kind of how we see it. So let's turn to Acts. Acts 13. And Acts 13, it's Paul's first missionary journey. Paul and Barnabas in Cyprus. Let's see here. How I'm going to take this. Acts 13. Okay. And they're, you know, they're going through there and they're preaching, you know. And there's people that are getting saved. You know, verse 12. And the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. So there are people who are astonished, you know. But when let's go down to verse 44. This is Acts 13, verse 44. And this, you know, verses 44 to 47, actually to 52, is the opposition of the Jews. Okay, Paul and Barnabas are out there, they're preaching, you know, and everything, and they're coming for all, the people of Israel, and some are repenting, some aren't, whatever. But here, they've got this opposition. And verse 44, and the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. Whew. Ain't that awesome? But when the Jews saw the multitudes and were filled with envy and spoke against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. So there are people that contradict the word. Verse 46, and Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it is necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But see, you know, they were sent out And they didn't go to the Jews first. They went where? To the Gentiles. They went to the Jews. Because right here it says, and Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it is necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. So there are people that are not going to, they don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear the good news. You know, to them, it hurts their ears. They just want to go on and live the way, you know, they just want to stay in Babylon. They just want to stay in Egypt. You know, it says here, you know, where is it here? Verse 45, and when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with what? Envy, and spoke against them. But Paul and Barnabas, what? They were bold. They were wax bold. And they're saying, you know, well, we want to come to you first and give you guys, you know. But they were willingly ignorant. That's the point here. They received the good news, but they were willingly ignorant of it. And he's telling them, seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy. Wow. How sad is that? You know? But when I was reading this, you know, and it comes down here to the last, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo. And I was thinking about that. Why does it say lo? L-O. We turn to the Gentiles. It's kind of like, wow, you know? They're just standing there. They can't believe, man, you know, you guys just, you don't know what you're missing. So be it. And they went to the Gentiles. Verse 47, for so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. You know, Paul's talking to the Jews here. You know, I've set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for the salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. See them Jews, they're still stirring it up today. But here we go. We need verse 51. But they shook off the dust off their feet against them and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. So sometimes we just have to kick the dust off our feet. You know? And it says here, they kicked the dust off their feet against them. Like, whatever, see you guys, we're out of here. You know, So let's go, where is it? Back to Acts. Let's go back to Acts 13 and verse 47. And so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light unto the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Amen. Amen, huh? Let's go to Mark. Mark 6. And I'm trying to come to a close here quick. Matthew, Mark. Mark 6. And let's go down to verse 10. Let's see here. And this is, okay, this is in chapter 6. It's about the unbelief in Nazareth, okay? In the first part of it. And starting at the verse 7 down to 13, it's Jesus sends the 12 to preach and to heal, okay? And let's go down to verse 10. And this is Jesus speaking, okay? And he said unto them, in what place soever ye enter into the house there, abide till ye depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, when ye depart thence, shake off the dust on your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Wow. You know, these are powerful words here. These are Jesus' words. And then it says, and they came out and preached that men should repent. That's the message. Repent. You know? It's kind of like, you know, just we're seeing the warnings today, you know. The warnings are going out about this end time deception, lies and deceit. But people, are they accepting it? Are they willingly ignorant and coming against us? Something to think about. I mean, that's what we're seeing here. Let's go to Luke 21. Luke 21. And this is... I'm going to start here. Verse 6, as for these things which ye behold, the days will come in which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And they ask him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign shall there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them, but when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. Ooh, boy, are we hearing that in the news today? And great earthquakes shall be diverse places, and famines, and pestilence, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these things, they shall lay their hands on you, and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and to prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall come to you for a testimony. You know, when we're brought before kings and rulers of this time, It shall be turned to you for a testimony. What is your testimony? Verse 14, settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay or resist. So I just want to stop right there, Lord. We just thank you right now, Lord. And I just ask that you would give each person that hears this message today wisdom, and that you will give them the words to speak or not to speak, when to be bold and when to humble, when the adversaries come against us, Lord. So we just thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Because it says here in verse 16, and ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kings, kinfolk and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not a hair on your head perish. You know, because we're looking eternally. We're not looking at, you know, what can they do to us today? It doesn't matter. In your patience, possess ye your souls. Is that not powerful? Father God, we just thank you for patience. To put up with what we have to put up with. And to be patient with these gainsayers. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all the things which were written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. You know, there's going to be great distress. Verse 24, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down with the Gentiles, and the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Verse 25, now we're talking about the coming of the Son of Man. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moons, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distresses of nations and perplexity. That word perplexity is the state of confusion. I think I talked just a little earlier about that. The spirit of confusion. It's an occultic spirit. It's a witchcraft spirit. It's bewitching. People are in a state of confusion. They're hearing the truth. They're hearing lies after lies and deceit. And the sea and the waves roaring. Men's heart failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Ooh, hallelujah. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Verse 29, and he spoke to them a parable. Behold, the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of yourselves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when you see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And here's our prayer. These next four verses. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with suffering, overeating, and drunkenness, and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unaware. How many people out there are unaware of what's coming? For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Wow. Is that something? For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. All them, it says here. Is that us too? It's coming. In verse 36, this is a powerful verse. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. And just highlight that scripture, verse 36, chapter 21. Lord, I pray always that each one of us here may be accounted worthy. Worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Wow. Amen and amen. Now, I just want to turn, let's turn to Revelation. This would be Revelation chapter 4. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure are they are and were created. Chapter 5, verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within on all, and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look thereon. Wow. Let's turn same chapter, chapter 5, verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou was slain, and thou redeemed us to God by the blood out of the every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation, has made us unto our King, our God, kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. Let me think here. Oh, wait. Yeah. Anyway, that's what I had for you today. So we just thank you, Lord, for your message, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we have strength and we wax bold in these end times, Lord, and all the stuff we've seen coming upon the earth, Lord, that we don't live in fear, but we are wax bold like Paul and Barnabas, Lord, to speak what the Spirit tells us, Lord. So we thank you, Lord, and we praise you, Lord, that you are worthy. You are worthy, Lord. Only you, Lord, are worthy of all our praises and honor and glory. So we just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, and praise you, Lord. And we ask this all in the mighty name of Jesus, the name that every tongue will confess is Lord, and every knee will bow. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen. So thank you, everybody, for being here today. We thank you for your prayers and your support. And I hope that everybody will have a great day in the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Everybody, I want to, thanks to Miss Carla's leading, begin doing this every week, inviting you all to give in the offering plate. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 5:18, you shall not muzzle an ox while it is treading the grain. The laborer deserves his wages. This verse essentially means that those that work hard deserve fairly compensated for their labor, just like an ox shouldn't be prevented from eating while it's working. This principle is often applied to the idea of fairly paying pastors and other church leaders for their ministry work. So I would like to allow you guys to give an offering today. I would like for you to bless Dennis, our pastor, who does not get paid to do this and works very hard. And, you know, let's show him some gratitude and appreciation for what he does for us today. Amen. And I do want to encourage you, Brian, that tithing is a principle that the Lord wants us to do in the kingdom, you know, to help those that bring the word and that are your guardians, your watchmen. Okay, so you guys can do that on our website at goem.us. And I do encourage you to go to our YouTube channel today. I am releasing several videos of my testimony that begin at noon. And then I invite you Tuesday to be with the Bible College, who's giving their testimony. And then starting tomorrow, we have our morning prayer call every morning from Monday through Thursday, which is really awesome, at 7:30 in the morning. And I would like to invite you guys as well on Wednesday to begin preparing something to give back to the bride all over the world, okay? So we do that on Wednesdays. We call Give Back Wednesday. Now, I believe that today I'm going to do something very special for the bride because I want to go live and explain what happened this week and to repent and everything. So I want to do later on this evening, I would like to do a fireside chat, you know, like we used to do. So I will be able to see you guys later on. And if you would please join us, I think we'll probably do it about 6 o'clock and, where I'll give away prizes and we'll talk about, you know, where the ministry is going and how we're going into the tabernacle studies because, starting tomorrow, we're going to be doing Bible studies. After our prayer calls on the tabernacle, because the world, the church at large, wants to participate in this, just don't have time to do the Bible college. So we're going to do the spiritual side of it publicly, and then the more technical, in-depth, deep dive in the Bible college. So I'm excited to have the body of Christ join us in this study as well. Okay, so let me pray for all you guys. Now listen, if any of you guys need prayer, you've got our phone number. We had several people call us this weekend that needed prayer. So I just want you to know that, you know, we are here for you to pray for you. Just text us and ask us, say, hey, you got a minute to pray. Just so we can kind of, you know, give you a time when it's good for us to sit down with you and pray. There's a lot of stuff going on. You know, homes are in a lot of trauma right now because you have a spouse. One spouse does not want to see what's happening. and the other spouse does, and it's bringing a division is growing within the family of the ones who refuse to see and the ones who see it as a tsunami right on their face, you know. So there's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of sickness, you know, a lot of the frequencies are up, so we have a lot of that going on, plus what the beast is doing, plus all the lies and deception and people falling back and believing the lie, the narrative that's being put forth. And so they're going back to join the, you know, the delusion type of deal. So there's a lot going on. But the ones who are still holding strong, okay, I'm going to pray for you right now. All right, let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for Pastor and for the encouraging word that he gave us this morning, Lord. I pray you do bless him today with a good financial blessing, Lord, so that he can buy these health products he wants to buy that he don't have the money for. And I pray you bless him with that, Lord, because that's Dennis's heart and this is his job. And he takes it very, very seriously and spends at least 30 hours a week, you know, just planning one sermon. And I pray you just truly bless his socks off today, Lord. And I pray for the church out there, Lord, that is going through that trauma like I'm talking about in their homes where they have an unequally yoked person and the times outside are getting so volatile, Lord, and the deception is getting so bad, Lord. So I just pray strength upon the bride. Give her strength, Lord. I plead the blood of Jesus over her from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, Lord. And I pray that you give her heart's desire. I pray that she will feel your love and the touch on her brow, Lord. I pray you will lavish her with your love today. And Lord, I thank you for giving all of these families grace with all the things they're going through with rejection and you know, being set apart because they see and they know and they're choosing to remain holy and the price that they're paying because they're choosing holiness. I pray you give them grace. That's what they need. And I plead the blood of Jesus over them. I pray that their hearing of the Lord will be increased because your word says that those that have ears to hear in the end times is what we need. We know, Lord, that our hearing is where the wealth is. We got to hear you before it can flow, Lord. And I pray that they hear what the Spirit is saying. Wealth is not about money. Wealth is about God. It's about his favor, the open doors, the favor, the supernatural miracles, the supernatural favor. When you have four goats instead of two, when you have 20 eggs versus two, that's wealth. It's the wealth. It's not the way the world is picturing wealth of the wicked laid up for the just and our version that's pushing everybody into the beast, cryptocurrency, and Luciferian economy, where they're saying this is where you're going to get all your gold and your wealth. That is not God's definition of wealthy. God's definition of wealthy is his eyes upon you, his face upon you, the glory upon you, the favor that's upon you, the spiritual visitations that's upon you, the multiplication of your life, the fruit that will remain, that's the wealth. All of this wealth, the riches of the world is nothing but a fleeting flake. It's a false illusion. It's going to be dangled in front of these people's faces. It's going to be gone in a year. It could be gone tomorrow. These people that are giving their life for monetary gain is only for a fleeting moment. This is all going to fade away. It's not worth keeping. So, Lord, I pray that you help them, Lord, to have it set in their mind that everything they have is yours and you can recall it at any time. And I pray that you help them, Lord, to be able to let go of things and trust in you, Lord, because you will always be over there tomorrow. Like the battle I'm having with the news, Lord, you know how I feel about that. But if we can trust to let go, and to let go of the familiarity, and to let go of the normalcy of what we've always known, and to trust you in these unknown waters, Lord, and to trust you that your plans for us are always yes and amen. Your plans are always yes and amen. And we thank you and give you praise because it is in your hand that we trust. We lay our lives in your hands. We talked about this the other day, the hand of judgment. Would we rather be in the hands of Lucifer or in the hands of God, no matter what the consequences may be? The will of the Lord be done. It's all about you, Lord. It's all about your glory. It's all about your image, not ours. It's all about your will and your purposes in the earth. And we need a heart adjustment today. We need our hearts to be in alignment with what your will is, because that is the heart of it all, the matter of it all, Lord. So today we thank you and give you praise for Pastor's sermon, Lord, encouraging us to not bow to Baal. So right now, in the name of Jesus, everybody point to your front door. Say, in the name of Jesus, I command you, Satan, to leave my house, to leave my property, to leave my children, to leave my thought life, to leave my family. I command you to leave in the name of Jesus. I will not bow to you or your image. I refuse to bow to fear. I bow to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. His name is Jesus Christ. And that's who I bow to. In Jesus' mighty name, I am choosing this day who I am serving. And I am choosing to put him on the throne of my heart, of my family, and of my possessions. Lord, everything I have is yours. Everything. My house, my children, my husband, my wife, my car, everything about who I am, even my body. It is yours, Lord. The will of the Lord be done. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. You know, this is why it is so important I get my testimony out there in these visuals. Because I have done this many times, and it is important to get that out there so people will see it can be done. Leaving it. 10-cent story. $9 story. Driving across the country. $20. 36 states. 18,000 miles in 2017. Not knowing where I'm going to sleep. Nothing. How I'm going to. In a car with a rod knocking and bald tires. 36 states, 18,000 miles. on $20. Oh, the devil tried to wear me out with that one. I said, Lord, I'm going to get in that old car and I'm going to drive to a $20 runs out because I know you told me to go. I know you did. When the $20 was about to run out, bing, somebody gave me $15. That's how he made me live that entire trip until the end, the last quarter. I had to live every day $5, you know. You know, really having to trust in him for every single provision. Put me in the desert, had to trust him for every single provision. So it's very important for us to share our testimony, as crazy as it may sound. There's people that's going to need that crazy. They're gonna need people that, you know, have been through what they have been through. Amen. So I encourage all you guys, and I love you. Thank you for being with us. Hey, let me tell you something before we get off here. We started this church on a Sunday morning. We originally started at 10 o'clock and we moved it to 7:30 on the telephone. Do you know how happy I am that we did? You know, YouTube made the announcement they're getting ready to do the QR codes within a month or two. So we're talking immediate. This is about to happen on YouTube. How that's going to work, how far we're going to be able to go, we don't know yet. We're just walking this thing out, you know. So I do want to tell you guys, as the church, forgive me for my bumps here and there where you've seen me go back and forth, do this and this. This is the end times, people. This scenario has never been done. So have grace for me. You see what I mean? Have grace as I'm trying to navigate through this as well. So, but anyway, so you've got the YouTube doing this. And then yesterday, I went on my Microsoft because I have Word and I have Excel, which I use for my Bible college classes, right? You can't sign in, ma'am, unless you do a passkey. I'm like, okay, so there goes Microsoft. I'm on the edge of even being able to use my anything there without them locking me down. So the point that I'm trying to say is thank God we've got church going on this. Because you can call in and we don't have to worry about being locked out for right now, you know. And if we have to, we will go to a telephone. We have a landline. We'll just tell you, you know, we'll do some type of group call or something. I mean, but we, as far as Garden of Eden Ministries, we're getting everybody ready for what we see is coming. Our house is in order. A lot of people who refuse to look or don't want to see, they're still out there. They're still planning that they're still in 2019. It's a sad day for them. Very sad. And they can make fun of me for pulling out of this social media, pulling out of that one, pulling out of all of them. And they don't understand and they're all mad because I'm not all out there. It's because God has slowly wooed us out. And another one is like when he said, I want you to pull out of the metaverse. Lord, that took about 6 weeks. That was a hard one because I was so entangled in it, you know. So anyways, but we did. And I'm very thankful because now if they lock me down, even on YouTube, they can have every one of them videos I have on there. You know, I don't care anymore. I'm already out. My heart is out. The will of the Lord be done. Whatever's going to happen. My heart's goal is we right here at the end, we're finally getting good internet out here at the farm. You know, and my heart is to have a good morning on the farm show during the week. You know, kind of like our prayer calls, but they'll be on that. Early in the morning. And then we can watch the animals and we can talk, you know. That's what I'd really like to do. So that's my heart, is to go back to the Good Morning on the Farms. Because remember, even back then, I did kind of like what I'm doing here. I did the news and I did Bible study and prophesy and laugh and cry. And, you know? So, but we'll see how far we can go. I mean, we can only do what we can do. So anyways, well, y'all have a good day, and we will see you at noon on those things. Oh, you liked it, the Good Morning on the Farm? I prayed back then, Lord, please, I want to have my own animals. And now here we are. We have our farm. We just had the four other goats and possibly fixing to get two more new goats that's being given to us. So we'll see. We really want a pig. If y'all really want to bless Dennis, this is what he wants. He wants a baby pig, and he wants a, what is that called? A donkey. A baby pig and a donkey. So, that's what he's wanting for the farm. All right. So, I will talk to you guys later, and y'all have a blessed day. God bless.